Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Sons of Ignatius podcast. I am Father Niall Leahy, and I am joined, as always, by...
Well, this is Father David Lugo, but I'm not coming at you from Miami.
What do you mean you're not coming? Wait, you're standing right behind me, Dave.
I am, in fact, in the same room as you. I am in Dublin, Ireland.
Welcome to Ireland, Dave. Welcome to Ireland.
I half expected you to be in Miami since I'm in Dublin.
Well, I think you got the better deal coming to Dublin then, you know, me having to go to Miami. I mean,
fair enough.
That would have been such a pain having to go to the beach in Florida and stuff like that.
It's pretty horrendous, yes, I know.
So, look, we're back for season two of the podcast. I guess this was always our intention to keep the podcast going, but we just want to say to our listeners that we really enjoyed doing season one. It was our first time podcasting, and Dave, our first time to podcast together. And I think from judging from people's feedback, it went pretty well. And it seems that people are getting something from a podcast. So just to say to all our listeners, thank you for all the positive feedback and the good vibes and the good messages that we're receiving from you. And yeah, we want to keep this going. So here we are for season two. We have plans to bring this forward and develop the podcast. So thanks for making this possible. And Dave and I are up for it. So here we are back again.
Yeah, man, back and better than ever. I mean, I think that we have a lot of new energy and a lot of creative energy moving forward for the season two, which I'm pretty stoked about. We have a lot of good stuff to talk about this year. And we'll get to that at the end today to see what we're going to be up to. But before that, how you been?
Man, I have been good. The summer has been largely here. I got some holidays or vacation, as you say. And yeah, I got some rest. I really needed to rest. And I noticed after, like, I had 2 weeks of holidays, 1 week just in a holiday home with another Jesuit confrere, 1 week at home, I was caring for my mother, that was really nice, and then a week on retreat. And after those 3 weeks, I came back just feeling myself again, which I was delighted with. I suppose I was burning the candles at both ends a bit, just working a lot, and as I say, like caring for my mother, things like that. So there was a lot going on. So just to rest for 3 weeks was fantastic. And yeah, the retreat was really good too. So yeah, the highlight of the summer for me was feeling like myself again, which was beautiful.
Wow, that's great.
How about you?
Good summer. Left Miami early July and have been moving around doing a lot of stuff to get me all the way to Madrid, including some family time, which is a big grace. My retreat for sure was a huge highlight. You know, that 8-day retreat we do every year, I did it with a good friend of mine in New Orleans. And that was probably the highlight of my summer. I was getting a chance to look over the course of that year in Miami and to really relish a lot of the graces. Especially some of the difficult, you know, experiences, getting a chance to really heal from some mistakes, and also to give a lot of thanks to God for some new friendships that I've made in Miami, which was a really beautiful grace to celebrate in prayer over 8 days. So I'd say that was probably the highlight, a good end to pastoral year and a good beginning to this new one.
I would say another highlight of the summer for me was the great news that there's a young man entering the Irish Jesuits this year. He's just going to the novitiate now. And, you know, in my first year as vocations promoter for the Irish province, this was just such joyous news.
Nice.
And yeah, like, we have small numbers of vocations joining the Jesuits in Ireland, but really, really good young men.
That's great.
Thankfully, that's continuing and it's great news for the whole province. We're very happy kind of being a smaller group of men going forward, but to have good quality men it's a huge blessing. It's what we give thanks to God for. Yeah, you mentioned the retreat. I did my retreat down at Clongowes, or the boarding school, Jesuit boarding school in Ireland. And there was one scripture that just blew me away. It was the Last Supper in the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus draws a comparison between himself and the kings of the Gentiles. And he says, look at how the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them. But it is not like that with me. I am among you as one who serves. And I thought, wow, that's incredible. Like, filing this under things I never thought God would say. Like, I'm not like this powerful overlord. I'm among you as one who serves, like, with my sleeves rolled up and very much in the trenches with you. It was just a real moment of grace and healing, and I would say, like, a correction of my image of God. So I've just been living out of that for a while now, and, you know, it's been feeding my preaching and everything, and just getting, really understanding the humility of God, the humility that we're called to as disciples of Christ.
Yeah.
And that holiness is a downward journey as much as an upward journey. Anyway, that was a real spiritual highlight of the summer for me.
That's awesome. I mean, it reminds me of a conversation I had with the Superior General of the Jesuits back when we were in philosophy, and he said he wants Jesuits who have downward mobility and not upward mobility. And I really appreciate it. It was a grace that it stayed with me ever since then that you're reminding me of, is that what is it like to be men of great success, but success doesn't look like climbing a ladder. It looks like actually going down, because that's what Jesus does.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to get down to Jesus' level. That's what holiness is, getting down to Jesus' level. Okay. Upward mobility, downward mobility, westward mobility, Dave. You and I went west yesterday.
We did.
Tell us all about it.
So I flew to Ireland on my way from Miami and never even heard of this thing called Our Lady of Knock. And so when I landed in Dublin and you're like, hey, why don't we go take a little pilgrimage on Sunday afternoon and drive west to the other side of the island and go to the Shrine of Our Lady of Knock. And I got to tell you, I have been to Marian shrines before, and this one was one of the more moving ones. Like, I went into the Basilica and I saw all these pilgrims praying rosaries and singing and receiving blessings. And oh my gosh, it was just a wonderful experience. And so for me to learn about Our Lady of Knock and at the same time go to her shrine was a great grace of Dublin. I imagine you've been there before.
I've been there several times. I won't give the whole story here, but it's basically because of Knock and the shrine at Knock that I'm a practicing Catholic and a believer because of various things that happened there. And so, yeah, it's always a joy for me to bring people there. And yesterday, even for me, I thought it was a particularly moving and special day. There were crowds there who were celebrating the novena for Our Lady of Knock. It was still ongoing. Her feast day is the 17th of August. And yeah, there was just a palpable sense of faith and devotion in the air. The place itself was looking amazing. It was in full bloom, you know, lots of flowers, and everything was nice and clean and tidy, and just, yeah, wonderful spirit around the place. The weather was good. We had a nice cup of coffee. I even met somebody I knew. Yeah, just one of those special days. It really is a spiritual homeland for Irish Catholics, and I thought you got a good healthy dose of Irish Catholicism yesterday, Dave.
Yeah, dude. And it was like family day, I think, right? And so there was all these families there, and I don't know. I was just reinvigorated for my devotion to Our Lady, and just to have those moments also just to get to know, like you were saying, Irish Catholicism, not just Catholicism generally.
Yeah.
This is the Irish people, the Irish church here celebrating their vision, you know, and they even sang a hymn to Our Lady of Knock, which I'd never heard before. Oh, it was so moving, man. It's so, so moving. The two of us standing in the Basilica looking at the image and hearing the hymn of Our Lady of Knock. I was very moved by it.
Also, the Sacred Heart snuck into our Knock pilgrimage. We were in the bookshop. I'm going to be Irish and say bookshop, not bookstore. and Dave, you just pointed out a few books on the Sacred Heart, and boy, did I get a good one. I'm holding it now. It's called Healing Promises, The Essential Guide to the Sacred Heart by Anne Costa. For a while now, it's been in my mind to get a book where all the elements of the Sacred Heart devotion are brought together, like the scripture, the history of the revelations, the various promises, and the devotional practices. It always seems to me that I get it in bits and pieces on little leaflets and booklets, and you'll get bits and pieces here. I was like, could we just have the whole thing together? And there it was, The Essential Guide to the Sacred Heart. So yeah, I'm really, really excited. I've started already, and it's all there. So no doubt there will be an episode on an essential guide to the Sacred Heart.
Yeah, that's been a desire of ours since the very beginning. I think since the very first episode is to do an episode on the Sacred Heart.
So I'm still doing a little bit of research.
Well, I'm deferring to you, man. You read that book well, and then you teach me about it on an episode.
I will. Okay, so the other news is that I was made parish priest of Gardner Street Parish, where I am.
Congratulations.
Thank you. In American terms, that is pastor. And so there are some exciting things coming to Gardner Street soon, including a NET team, which will be six young adult volunteers, sort of missionaries who'll be living here and working here for the year. So yeah, really hoping to invest a lot more in young adult ministry and young people's ministry this coming year. But in terms of the podcast, Dave, what direction are we going to take now?
Okay, so we've gotten a lot of good feedback over the last year. People like our banter, they like our topics, they like our way of treating different things. And we're going to continue with that, having good conversation between the two of us. But we're going to add, as you just mentioned, the NET team, we're going to add some guests this season. And so one of the episodes that we'll do halfway through the season, we'll bring that NET team together and to talk with us about their mission and about their ministry as young adult missionaries in a parish context. So we'll do that. Before that, I think we're going to do something that's very near and dear to both of our hearts that I've studied extensively in graduate school and is very, very important for Jesuit spirituality. We also notice in pastoral context that it's very important, and that's discernment. There's so many people who are interested in discerning their vocations, discerning how God is working in their lives day to day. And so we're going to dedicate a whole 4-episode series on the rules for discernment of St. Ignatius, how to discern in the daily life, how to discern a vocation, how to have spiritual freedom to be able to make good choices. Dedicating some good time to that, because I think that's a topic that we could talk about ad nauseum forever. There's just so much to say. It's so important for the Christian tradition, and it's so important for our daily life. How do we discern the spirits? How do we know how to make good choices? So we'll spend some time on that. We'll have an episode up with the Net team to talk about mission. And then we'll end the first half of the season talking about the season of Advent, because we'll be right around Christmas time. How to prepare well for Advent. How to take advantage of that season so as to celebrate the Nativity of our Lord with great generosity, you know, and great preparation. I think it'll be good.
One of the reasons I'm looking forward to talking about discernment with you, Dave, is that you have a sense of discernment, not just as, you know, a St. Ignatius thing or as a Jesuit thing, but really as a part of the Christian life, right, from the beginning. Like, and it's there in the scriptures. And of course, St. Ignatius brings his own sort of methodology to it, or, you know, puts his own stamp on it a little bit. But it's not anything new. It's not just an Ignatian thing. It's just part of the Christian life. And we're doing it all the time as Christians. We are discerning between good and evil. We're discerning between even this good or that good, you know, what to do on a daily basis. And we're also discerning, you know, major life decisions. So it's something we do. And can we just use some Ignatian wisdom to maybe refine that and do it with a little bit more confidence that this, you know, that we are actually finding God's will?
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, God wants to be found. And I think it's an important lesson for Christians is that God isn't playing hide and seek, you know? So he's very much speaking to us in our experiences, speaking to us in other people, but learning to really hone the skill and the gift from the Spirit to be able to discern the voice of God. You know, in the scriptures in John 10, Jesus says, "The sheep hear my voice and they follow me." And I think, how do we train our own spiritual ears to hear the voice of the shepherd and recognize it? And in recognizing it, follow it.
As we were driving over to Knock yesterday and then enjoying our time there, one of the things that kept coming up was, as Jesuits, we feel close to God, not when we're necessarily like giving God a hug or having some kind of nuptial union with God, but when we're doing what God wants us to do. You know, it's like, there's work to be done, God. What is it? Just let me get started at it. And that's, I suppose, the slightly, you know, Jesuit flavor that we're bringing to discernment. It's, you know, what is the work that God wants me to do? Can I find it? And can I get going on that and, right, and find real life and vitality and consolation in that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. A life of discernment is precisely a life of discipleship. It's to find the ways in which we can best serve the Lord. And there are many people that are listening to us probably that are paralyzed in their life. And I find that discernment is a great topic, because there can be a paralysis of discernment. People who just keep discerning, what do I want to do with my life? What is God calling me to? And then just spend years and never decide anything. You know. So we'll talk about that. I think to anticipate, one of the things I like to talk about a lot is that discernment exists for decision. And so if there's no decision at the end of this rainbow, then this discernment train needs to stop, because we're not moving in the right direction. So yeah, things to look forward to.
I was being interviewed on another radio show recently, and at the end, the guy said, you know, if you could give people who are discerning one piece of advice, what would you give them? And I said, become free before all the options. And he said, oh, that's such a Jesuit thing to say. I remember when I was discerning my vocation to the priesthood,
yep,
my Jesuit spiritual director said exactly that. You know, he said, it's clear you're not free here before the options, and you need to become free. And I was like, what is he talking about? I mean, that's just common sense for me now, but this is, I think, a really important, I think it's actually maybe the hardest part for some people anyway, of the process of discernment. It's not necessarily putting the antennae up and figuring out what it is that God is transmitting to you, but becoming free to God's will, wherever that is, so that whatever God is transmitting to you, you'll be able to do it. So we can talk about that more as well. But yeah, there's some great stuff to get into.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Excellent, man. Excellent. Yeah. And so we'll have a lot of great topics this fall, but I want to make sure that we tell our listeners that if you have ideas about what we may be able to talk about in the future, especially since we have things planned out pretty much till Christmas, but once the new year comes around, what are some things that you'd like us to talk about? Things that you'd like us to discuss in depth, and also maybe different areas of the spiritual life or religion or society that you think Father Niall and Father David might have something to say. And so we have an email address, Niall.
It is hello@sonsofignatius.com. That's hello@sonsofignatius.com. And we are also on Twitter and possibly on Facebook. I'm not sure, but I know I'm definitely on Facebook as Niall Leahy SJ. And Dave, are you?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram, David Lugo SJ.
So you can get in touch that way, or there is Sons of Ignatius on Twitter as well. So yeah, this season we hope to have a little bit more interaction with you, our listeners, to be able to respond to your comments or requests, and yeah, just make it a little bit more interactive. So that's one of our hopes. And Dave, I think that's probably enough for today. Just, I mean, today was basically just hello and say we're back. We're committed again to season two. We have a roadmap. It wasn't a flash in the pan.
That's right.
We think this is a good thing. And this time, Dave, we'll be doing it while not separated by an ocean. Just the Bay of Biscay.
So I'll be in Madrid, you'll be in Dublin, and who knows, maybe we'll do another live episode sometime soon.
Absolutely. Dave, it's good to be back and really nice to be doing this podcast with you, man.
All right, buddy. Till next time.
Okay, take care. God bless everyone.